Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello, welcome back to Snacks and Jacks. I'm Tom. I'm Al. Matt Weber. Should have Mr. Kevin O'Neill in a second. S&P futures down 15. Dow futures down 124. NASDAQ futures down 46. Had a wild day yesterday. We were down pushing 650 points at the low. Came back and almost made it to the upside. We actually did make it to the upside, and the NASDAQ was up 29. Dow finished down 80, but we're heading kind of right back south today. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. Sounds like you're barely going to make it through the rest of the week here.
Feeling a lot better, but whatever, it takes a little while for it to totally go away. These colds, everybody's hacking away down here. Boy, the downtown got hit early, I think, this year. Hopefully not in your area, but anyway, it's a
no. But, we seem to be all right so,
for the moment.
Yeah, you guys just stay where you are.
I must have been riding with some people that ride on the Eller trains or something, you know, those kind of people. But anywho, what, Kevin, from a management style, not to go into whether shouldn't, I have no idea what these Huawei people do, but what do you make of the timing of this thing? Have you been reading any of this stuff about, this all went on, matter of fact, our good comrade, Dr. J, was going crazy yesterday on CNBC, regarding the huge sell-off on 2 days ago. Evidently, this lady got apprehended a few days before it was announced. The Huawei CFO, or the hell she is.
Mm-hmm.
And Jan, of course, was ranting that this is the ultimate insider trade. I mean, then, what's his name? Who's the wacko with the mustache? Bolton?
Yeah.
Well, the guy with the mustache, he comes out and said the president didn't know about it at the meeting, and he did. They didn't tell him?
Well, let's define didn't know about it, and not that it makes it less the lie. I am sure the president knew that they were going after her.
Probably.
Did they make the arrest, and he knew that when they met? Maybe not. Who knows?
Well, I guess is what you're doing these days is, it seems to me, of course, you don't know if you're obviously not getting the whole story, but if you are, it seems a little bit management kind of messed up. I mean, I sure hope this Bolton isn't making these decisions. Maybe he is. I don't know.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. I mean, that would have been, just seems the timing of it, is a little strange. Do you think the guy in China knew about it? I mean, he must have. How could he not have?
I would suspect that everybody knew about it.
All right. Well, now they're saying that the president didn't. But it just seems like the timing is a little strange. And, I don't know. What's a...
Yeah, you were getting at this a little bit. Was it yesterday? It might have been yesterday. I think it was yesterday. About why and what's going on there. Generally, when you buy certain classes of equipment, you know, and technology, most technology stuff fits into the profile. Even if you're buying it in the United States, there's an agreement that you have to make as part of your of the contract that you will not export it to certain parts, you know, certain countries that where you're not allowed to. So, you know, that's really what the issue is if Huawei was turning around and remarketing this stuff to Iran, they had agreement that they weren't going to do that.
Or don't they had agreements with who?
Well, it's part of the contract, but it's U.S. Export law.
All right, so it's enforceable criminally?
Apparently so. Yeah, it is.
It is? Okay. Even though it's...
Yeah, so I couldn't, as a business, go buy servers from Dell and then turn around and ship them out of the country.
Okay. Well, you could to Britain. You probably couldn't to Iran.
If I were to do it to Britain, I would have had to disclose that, and then it would be subject to review.
Okay. What about you stuff? I don't know. This is a new area for me.
I think there is a whole lot on the list, and I don't know if it was part of the Patriot Act or how long before that it was in place. I don't remember it being in place before 9/11, but that doesn't mean it wasn't. But
that would make sense.
Any of these purchases came with, even if you're buying online. Now, if it's you or me, I don't ever recall seeing, you know, such an agreement. But when I've been on commercial websites making purchases and completing purchases, you have to check here and say, I promise I won't send them out of the country.
Okay. God, how, if you're putting together a, these guys make servers and stuff, right? They make a lot of stuff. How far down the parts chain does that go?
Good question. Don't know.
Sounds to me like if you wanted to get somebody, you could. If you didn't want to, you wouldn't have to. Of course, most of our laws are like that, huh? Unfortunately.
Well, yeah. It leaves room for arbitrary enforcement.
Which we're good at.
Yes, we are very good at that.
It just seems like... all these people that don't want to get, I don't know, they end up getting what they're not supposed to get at some point. The world is a beautiful place. I mean, stuff, everything is available someplace. Remember Pullman with thousands of people working there, anything you wanted you could get? Trading floor the same way, Kevin. I can only imagine the international arms and software thing. If you want something, you can get it.
Oh, yeah, but again, if you're caught, then... You know, at least they have a grounds for prosecuting you.
Well, it'll be interesting to see going forward. What we're gonna have Wayne on today. We'll talk a little bit about the Flynn situation. What do you think this guy? 19 meetings, Kevin? Forgot what? And now they don't even want to do jail time. Forgot what? What do you talk about? A guy that knew everything, though, huh? I mean, what, he had quite a career.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and there's a lot of speculation about what that means, and I pretty much assume that anybody who speculates as if they really know something is full of crap.
All right, I'll be full of crap. I'm going to predict that they're going to find a huge, massive amounts of some people around Trump trying to take advantage of his being in the limelight, which he always was, for working a lot of these deals probably after he should have been working them. I'm going to say that none of it really got back necessarily to him, where it was a quid pro quo, where he's, you know, he sold anything to Putin. At least I hope not. But it'll open up to a lot of people's eyes this amazingly sordid world of international BS, I'll call it, and who these people all are. And if you want to read it, I bet it'll be fantastic reading.
Yeah, it probably will be.
But I don't think it leads to an impeachment. That's one man's opinion. That's one man's opinion. You know, with that, I used to say 25 cents gets you a phone call, but there are no payphones anymore, so.
Yeah, no kidding. That is an expression that is kind of dated at this point, and there's a whole lot of people be scratching their heads and saying, what do you mean 25 cents?
I still thought that even though the movie is now really old, when Superman went to go in the phone booth and there were no phone booths to change his clothes. Well, he used to do that in the phone booth back in the old TV show.
Yep.
But
not in the TV show. He used to run into the supply closet at the Daily Planet and then fly out the window.
Right.
Like, nobody ever caught on to that.
No, nobody ever figured that one out. Plus, he was never anywhere near Clark Kent. Plus, Clark Kent looked just like him. You know, not that he was, since he was the same guy, it was easy to do.
Oh no, those glasses were the perfect disguise.
They were kind of nerdy glasses, but you know, it was a personality thing. You know.
That show was definitely a suspension of disbelief situation.
I could see you being Harry White.
Perry White. You can see me? Yeah, don't call me chief. You're chief.
Yeah, so I can see you. I can see Thomas being Jimmy Olsen, you know. Easy. God. And did you watch the football awards last night? It was kind of interesting.
Nope.
Were there two coaches of the year?
Nope. Had different awards. Academic leadership awards last night.
Really? That must have been fun. How'd that go?
Really well. You know, I got to do the keynote speech.
Really?
Yeah.
What was so key about your speech other than it was you?
It was a discussion of leadership. It went over well. I got good feedback on it.
Now, when you guys, where is your main campus? And then you satellite out from there, right?
Well, there is no main campus. There's 22 campuses around the whole state.
Well, there's no one that's bigger.
You know, are the Grand High Exalted Mystic Rulers of the entire college are in Indianapolis. Mine is jointly managed South Bend and Elkhart County, and I am in Elkhart County.
So how far away is that from you?
For me, it takes about 20, 25 minutes for me to drive. I'm actually in Goshen.
Okay.
Because that's the other side of the US 20 highway that runs, you pick up at the airport and it kind of bends around as a bypass south of South Bend. Because I'm about a quarter mile on the south side of that, my address technically is Goshen, Indiana.
But that's a reasonable size physical facility there.
Oh yeah, yeah, nice big building. In fact, our next construction project is we're going to add a CDL program, so we're going to have a training track for big trucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I should go and get my license.
If you want to start driving, you can come see me.
Oh, good. What do you think, Matty? You and I going cross country?
Like Dumb and Dumber or what?
Yeah, the big rig. Be like Charles Kuralt.
Yes.
I don't know. It's a tough job, I think.
Well, you know what the problem with that job, look, you can get your CDL and do local deliveries too. You know, just be a local driver and go home every night. But if you're out on the road all the time, one of the things that people don't realize when they sign up for it, because they think it's going to be a cool way of life, is you spend a lot of time alone.
Oh, God, yeah.
And if you aren't comfortable with that, then it's not a job for you.
No, it's you don't see too many teams anymore, really, too much. There's one guy.
Yep.
I mean, back in the day at ICX, there was always two-man teams. They'd drive to Denver and they'd drive back. You know, one guy'd drive out and you'd share, and they never wanted the truck not moving. So you couldn't really do one guy with that. But now it's pretty much the other way around. Hey, I want to shift gears a little bit regarding the economy and the market and so forth, mostly the economy. Everybody who comes on TV genuflects to how good, how absolutely spectacular this economy is. And the labor numbers are great and are coming out today. We'll see how they are today. Everybody, I see it better than a few years ago. I think we've run a little bit of a wall the last few months. I honestly don't see it as being exceptionally good, Kevin. I really don't.
Yeah, I see it as a little slower here from a production standpoint. You may recall that the September RV production numbers, RV shipments, was down 29% versus September 2017. Now, there are a couple of factors in there. I think there's some influencing factors like a little bit of an uptick in interest rates and fuel prices, and those matter a lot for those, you know, for the big, you know, the big
honkers, yeah,
solo units, yeah. But in addition, it's also because 2017 was such a hot year for them that it was bound to fall. So when the October numbers came out about a week ago, they were down, I think, 10 or 11% over the previous October, and that's what I would have expected. If it had slowed to what I would call normal, that's what I would have expected, and that's still the big driver in Elkhart County. In South Bend, it's more technology. And that's still growing, but in Elkhart County, it, you know, there's a whole lot of manufacturing. Even though they've diversified a lot, there's still a lot of RV production and then the related industries that supply the RV industry. So if it slows down, it doesn't necessarily mean people are out of work, but it does mean that they are not working the 50 and 60 hour weeks that they were.
Yeah, I would. I'm curious as to when the BS stops. I understand if you're a politician, I guess we'd do it too, Kevin. If something came out that was halfway decent, we would take credit for it, and you know, I suppose it'd be somebody else's fault if it wasn't. But we're talking about people that you know, run lots of money and are, you know, are respected, that have degrees. And they constantly will talk about this labor market is the tightest they've ever seen and blah, blah, blah. Look at the numbers, Kevin. They're just not there. I mean, the 22 months under Trump have been virtually the exact same numbers as the last 22 months under Obama. I'm not saying who did a better job, worse job.
They're not the exact same. The raw numbers are the same, but if you dive into the detail, they are not the same.
Okay.
You know, for instance, there are several hundred thousand more manufacturing jobs than there were under Obama.
Well, what I'm saying is that the trend is pretty much the same. So it's 200,000. Actually, Obama was like 205,000 a month, and Trump's 198. I mean, it's virtually identical.
And there's one other thing to count, and, you know, this would be a good Carl question, because he dives into this kind of stuff, is are the numbers that they're publicly reporting, are those the establishment survey or the household survey? Because in the Obama years, you had a whole lot of people taking two jobs. So people were opening up part-time jobs like crazy because of the insurance mandate. And there were I don't see nearly as many people working two jobs now as I saw before. So
well, plus every time
the household, they're going to say about the same. If you take the establishment, they would have been overstating it, because you do the household survey and you say, are you working or not? And they say, yes, I'm working. Nobody's, you know, I don't know that, at least at the surface level statistics, I don't know that measures anything than binary yes or no. Two jobs, you know, in the establishment survey, it'll count as two jobs created. In the household survey, hey, I'm working. That's all that matters.
Well, I don't disagree. What I'm saying is that the plus the next 200,000 people, after you've already hired 200,000, is harder to hire, right? I mean, it's
yeah.
So it's I'm just saying I don't the incredible overwhelming, you know, Jamie Dimon. He's one that's pissing me off, basically. Not that I get pissed off about this stuff. He's like, well, there's no problem. Well, actually, he did point to a bubble in the Treasury offerings. Kevin, I see this is better than it was. I see the debt constantly going up, and my feeling is that what we're getting for the debt is not enough. It's not enough to start on its own. Clearly the market is not rallying without the Fed behind it. I'm not saying it's going down, but it's going down some, but I mean, anybody who thinks we're going to go flying to new highs here, just like 2 years ago when every day there was money left on the table every night from the Fed, I think he's smoking something. Doesn't mean we won't rally some. Doesn't mean we won't continue to, in the companies that are doing better. You know, we can grow into these earnings easy enough. I mean, I'm not predicting the market. Everybody knows I never do that. But, to think that there hasn't been somewhat of a tone change is a tad naive, wouldn't you think? I mean, clearly.
Maybe a tone change.
What do you mean? I mean, and in terms of, you know, gleefully 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we went up every day, we didn't have a 1% move in the whole year, and the Fed was pouring money into the tune of 6% or whatever, where every day there was money left on the table. It never reached you and me. A lot of that money flows right into the market, and it did. And that was their job, was to pump up asset prices, and that's what they did. And now they're saying that they're not doing that anymore, and they're not. The money supply growth is down to 3.5%, which isn't horrible, because it's, of course, sort of what we're growing. And we're growing our 1.5%, and we've got a 2% inflation, according to them. All right, so that's right. But they're not. We're not, at the end of the day, having a pile of cash on everybody's table. So to expect 2019 to be like 2015 or whatever the year we were up 30%, I think is somewhat naive. I mean, because it's just not there. Because when you see those kinds of rallies, those kinds of sell-off, in my whole life in the business, the Fed has usually been behind it. And right now, they're not a push behind the market. They're not a drag, but they're not a push. Just saying.
Okay. Well, I hear what you're saying, and that, you know, you know my analysis. It's a little bit, okay, look left, look right, what do you see? And that isn't necessarily driven by statistics, and so I'm probably reacting more than predicting.
Well, so am I. But what I'm saying is right now, if you're dealing with people's portfolios, which is what I do, and you look at the contributors on the show, some of these guys have, not mentioning names, have pretty good size 401ks. Nobody's made a move. It's like, do you really owe yourself, if the market goes down 20%, do you owe yourself to give that away? People seem like they're slaves to, but this is not just this, Kevin. There's been a time in the market when you wanted to sell every call you could get your hands at because the market didn't go anywhere. The only time you made any money was selling calls against your positions, which would be a covered right. You're not speculating. You're just selling a covered call on your stock. There's been years when if you didn't do that, you didn't make a nickel. And then we have a few years where if you did that, all you did was snivel because the stock went up and you had trouble with your calls, your stock got called away. So it was the world's worst strategy. So the last 5-6 years, maybe 8 years, give your money to somebody or do it yourself, put it in the market, don't even look at it. When it goes down, buy more. Okay, now that was a strategy for a while. Now, it seems to have changed a little bit, somewhat, at least for a little while. And but will people change or will they ride the whole thing down? When you like a stack, you ride it up. Example is, there's a guy in Ohio. He was a single, other than the company, he was the single biggest owner of Cisco stock. This is back in 2000, bomb years. And his I think he was from Akron. I don't know the name of the place, and I wouldn't say it if I did. Somehow or another, he must have got in on the, either very early on, or was it part of the IPO or something at Cisco. The guy rode the stock from 6 to 60, was by far one of the leading money managers in the country for, I'm going to say, 5 or 6 years during that whole era, because he was so overweighted Cisco stock, it basically stunk on the guy. And when it got to 65, or wherever it topped out at, went all the way back down to 6, and he never sold a share, never bought a put, never sold a call. Obviously, something changed along in there somewhere, Kevin, right? I mean, do you feel an obligation to the company? You've got to write it back down? Can you never sell? Can you never? You know, what's going on? I mean,
all's hope.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. You owe it to them. You like the place. You like the chairman. And you're talking about investments. It's in some ways it's a lot like gambling. You don't owe the blackjack table half the money back that you won, right? I mean, if you can pick up,
yeah, you definitely don't.
I mean,
but they'll take it. They'll gladly take it from you.
Well, I mean, how many people leave a blackjack game on their top tick? 1 in 100?
Maybe.
What do you think, Manny?
Probably no one on their top tick. Yeah. Very rarely.
Very rarely.
No one leaves on the top tick doing anything.
Now the question is why?
Well, it's because you don't know it's the top tick. That's why.
Well, I mean,
It's a pretty easy answer.
You win five, six.
If they knew it was the top tick, they would leave.
Well, I mean, I've done it a few times where all of a sudden you won 5-6 hands in a row and you're feeling on top of the world and it's the end of that deck and they're shuffling them all up again and you go, God, the next one can't be as good as the last one. I've got one up and left.
You still don't know if that was the top tick, though.
But it was for me. I left. It was the top tick of that session. When the next one's starting over again.
I'm just saying, if you don't know if it's the top tick or not, that's why no one
could have won two more and then folded it up.
Exactly. You could exactly.
Well, my point is,
you could have lost the next two and said, "Damn, I should have gotten out."
Well, but you don't. In other words, you don't owe the successful strategy that you were in. Like, in other words, the strategy I use, the Protected Index Program, for 10 years, I'm going to say it was the single best investment strategy for retail people that anybody ever devised. Okay, and what could go wrong with it? If you'd asked me that, I would have said zero interest rates. Markets that just creep up and never go down. And I said, but that'll never happen, of course. Beautiful prediction that was. So from 1998 to 2008, I'm going to say if you were in our program, you did better than just about anywhere else. We were up more than the market, and we were never down, so you never had a sleepless night. All of a sudden, 2008 comes along. Interest rates go to zero. The calls go down. The puts go up, which is the way options work, and we creep up every day. And every call you sold got run over by the stock. So for 10 years, you wanted to have no protection. You never wanted to sell a call. You just wanted to put your money in the market and let it rip. Okay. Now, but we can't trade 98 to 2008 again, and we can't trade 2008-2018 again. All we can trade is the next 10 years. And it's probably going to be different than the first 10 and the second 10. But you don't owe your strategy the last 10 years that made you money. You don't owe them anything. You can go to cash today. You don't, I'm saying is, but people feel they do. I talked to 5 people, Kevin, in the last month. Pretty good size accounts. Well, do you want to do something different? Well, I will as soon as it comes back up some. Okay. That's a deadly sin. So in other words, your portfolio was $1 million, now it's 900,000. If it goes back to 950, you're going to protect it. Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, you can't change people's minds, Kevin. I mean,
argue with that.
No, yeah, argue with that. I mean, but how many people have said, Matt, even people you know, I bought this stock at 70, it's 60, it gets back to 65, I promise I'm selling it. I mean, everybody's done it. I've done it. It's not like it's unusual. But if it's your life savings, you got to do better than that. That's all I'm saying. S&P futures down 1275 now. Dow futures down 106. NASDAQ futures down 36. Oil up 40 cents. 10-year yield 2.88, back under 3. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than 3 decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Al. He's Matt Weber. And he's Mr. Kevin O'Neill. S&P futures are down 15. Dow futures down 131. NASDAQ futures down 42. Again, the NASDAQ was actually up yesterday, 29. So, you're down 42, kind of brings it back to break even. The other guys are sinking on some. We had oil up 40 cents, 51.89. 10-year yield, 2.89, which, again, is, never thought it would be back under 3 again. Wrong again. DAX up 54. Now, these guys are caught in the time warp. They didn't catch any of the rally yesterday. So, when they closed, we were still down a whole bunch. So, they're bouncing back some. DAX up 54.5%. FTSE up 87, 1.3%. CAC around up 58, 1.2%. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei coming back some. They were down 2.5% yesterday morning, as you recall. Up 177.8. Shanghai up 0.7. That's 70 cents. We'll call that flat. Hang Seng down again, down 92.3%. Again, oil, we've got West Texas up 40 cents. Brent up 98 cents. So that spread is now, I'll call it $9 in 15 cents. Natural gas, 429. RBOB, 145. By the way, how did gas go back up 30 cents last Sunday? How did I get 191 and now it's 221 everywhere? This is weird.
I've never seen it 191 or 221, so I have no idea.
But the city, it's still 3-something. The spread is like a buck and a half now.
Is it 3-something?
I think it is.
I don't get gas that often, but I think it's more like in the 280s.
Well, if you go right by one on North Avenue, they never went under 3. Those guys are thieves.
Yeah, those guys are thieves.
The gold up $3, silver up 6 cents. Matty, what do you have for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a pretty good start here on a Friday morning as far as the area expressways, roadways, and tollways are concerned. No issues whatsoever across the map, Chief. Edens, Kennedy, Eisenhower, Stevenson, Southside expressways, all quiet. Not only are there no accidents, but there's no issues either. No stalled vehicles, no congestion to speak of. So enjoy a nice quiet commute as you're heading in this morning. I'm sure this will change by the next report, but so far so good. 37 minutes past the 6 o'clock hour here in Chicago. Weather today, partly cloudy skies, cold, a high of 28, wind chills in the teens. Right now it is mostly clear and 19 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, more rain in the forecast for the second straight day. Rainy with a high of 65 today. Right now it's cloudy and 59. In sports, the Blackhawks briefly took a 3-2 lead after falling behind 2-0, and then just a handful of seconds later, they gave up the tie, and then 12 seconds after that, they gave the lead right back, and they lost their sixth straight game, losing to the Vegas Golden Knights 4-3 last night. Blackhawks are having a season from hell. Coyotes lost to the Capitals 4-2. NBA basketball, Bulls were off. Suns were blown out by the Blazers 108-86. And in college football news, as Chief touched on briefly, Brian Kelly was named the Home Depot Coach of the Year in college football. He's the first coach ever to win that award 3 times. Chief.
Kevin, how come the Branko Nagurski Award is the best defensive player?
What's the Bronco? What's the question? I didn't hear you.
Not the Branko Nagurski Award was for the best defensive player. I did not know that. I would have guessed the best.
Well, Nagurski would have been from the single platoon football, so probably could have been either one.
That's probably true. Well, they said Butkus could have been in the Chicago Football Hall of Fame, High School Football Hall of Game, in probably 3 positions: center, linebacker, and fullback. But they didn't really want to do that. How do you play center and fullback in the same play?
I don't think he can.
No, I don't think he can.
High school players are interesting anyway, though, because the best ones can play lots of positions, and a lot of them do play two ways. So I remember, you remember T.J. Duckett?
Yeah.
Had a long career. I remember seeing him in high school because he was in my son's conference, and he was actually he was in the backfield with a guy named Little John Flowers who played at Michigan State. And Duckett was, a fullback in the NFL and a big back in college. He was the quarterback and middle linebacker in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
What? If you had to guess,
isn't that an interesting combination?
If you had to guess,
he was really good at both of them.
Maddie will check this on Google. He's good at this. If you had to guess, who was the last really two-way player in college football? I'm going to say either that kid from Michigan, who was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Charles Woodson?
Yeah, or the guy from Purdue, Keyes. Was it Leroy Keyes or Leon?
Leroy Keyes. Leroy Keyes probably was a legitimate one. You know, Woodson didn't play full-time.
Okay.
Both, but Leroy Keyes did for a while.
So you think he was probably the last of the...
Yeah, and
last of significance that I can remember.
In my lifetime, I don't think anyone has played full-time two-way college football. They're, like you said, Charles Woodson and some other guys like that that were really skilled defensive players would take maybe 10 or 15 snaps on offense and return punts and stuff like that, but they never were true two-way players. I don't think that's really happened in the last 30-plus years.
It's almost reaching a point where a guy like, Gale Sayers, Tim Brown, where they did all punts, did all kickoffs, and played every play on offense, you're almost not seeing that anymore either. I mean, those are all kind of, it's almost like a...
Very few. Like, Tariq Cohen pretty much does that, Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs pretty much does that, where they play, you know, like 90% of offensive snaps, and they return kicks and punts.
It's rare.
It's rare. Yeah, it is rare.
It's hard to do. I mean, those are specialized things.
And you don't want your best offensive players taking a ton of special teams punishment. I mean, in a big situation, you'll take the chance, but I don't know if you want them returning every single kick.
No, I still don't know if I've ever seen anybody better than that Hester guy at returning punts and kicks.
Oh yeah, if they allow just a special teams only guy to make the Hall of Fame as a returner, then he deserves it because he's probably the best of all time, or he's at least in the conversation. He couldn't do much on offense though, but man, he could return kicks.
Yeah, he was a class above in an open field, wasn't he?
Some of his kick returns were just so incredible. The one that jumps out to me is that somebody tried a really, really long field goal at the end of the half, so he went back to catch it.
Well, I remember that, yeah.
And wound up going like 108 yards or something for a touchdown to close out a half.
What? How many people did the Bear game this Sunday? Did it get flexed from noon to 7 o'clock again?
Yeah, that was announced like a month ago.
Okay, what? So I guess that's not so bad, but so how many people from L.A. do you think are coming here? We're coming here that don't have a spot on Sunday night.
Not many, but maybe some.
Our girl Terry, our friend Terry, who bartends down at one of the places by the Soldier Field, said the Minnesota game. So there's all kinds of people wandering around. They had a place to stay on Saturday night. Since she got booted out of their hotel room at noon on Sunday. We're just wandering around downtown like zombies, waiting for the 7 o'clock game and no place to stay Sunday night.
Well, they're from Minnesota. They're going to wander around like zombies anyway.
Well, that's true.
They can't help it.
So guess what somebody in a bar says? Well, they could go to the museum.
I saw Fargo. I saw what happens when you go to Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's right. Well, somebody said, well, they could have gone to the museum, and I go, that group's not, what are you talking about? Can you imagine all the
Vikings football fan that's willing to travel for a road game? Yeah, he's not going to a museum.
No, he's not going to the Natural History Museum, I'm thinking. But it's, anyway. So, Kevin, what do you make of the playoff system? How long are these old bowls going to last? I was looking at the list yesterday.
I sort of expect them to dwindle away because they're becoming more and more obsolete as you go. You know, it'll all depend on the TV ratings because it is a TV ratings event. It's certainly not an attendance event because hardly any of them sell a substantial number of tickets. And when you're forcing the participating teams to take tickets off your hands and they're losing money because of it, I think at some point you're going to get some athletic department with a stretched budget, you know, and they're just going to start saying no. You know, whether it's no, I'm not going to go, or no, I'm not paying.
Well, the coaches are crazed for the extra 5 weeks of practice or 4 weeks, right?
Yeah. That's what they always say. You know, I don't know how much it helps. It probably does help somewhat with your freshmen. And, you know, that is one thing that has changed this year is that you have the freshmen, the eligibility rule changed so that you can play four games as a freshman and not use up your year of eligibility. So there are a lot of freshmen out there who've maybe played a game or two, maybe haven't played any, who can go play in the bowl game and not burn a year of eligibility.
It doesn't matter what part of the season.
That could even be a factor in the playoff team with the playoff teams. If there's an extraordinary freshman who wasn't ready at the beginning of the season or who was behind a upperclassman on the depth chart, and now you're going to bring your new fastest guy to return kicks or something like that, it could be interesting.
So it doesn't matter what game of the year, any four.
Any four.
It used to be if you got hurt early.
Sprinkle them in as needed.
It used to be if you got, hurt by the third or fourth game, you could get the year back or something?
Yeah, something like that, yep.
That's interesting. Do you have you heard of any seniors now wanting to play?
Not so far. Won't surprise me, though.
We had a few last year, right?
We have a few every year. And yes, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, if he weren't in the playoffs, would Kyler Murray want to play? He's not a senior; he's a junior, but he's eligible, and he's going to spring training next spring for Oakland drafted him in the first round. He doesn't intend to make football his career. He intends to be a baseball player. You know, would you risk the injury for the last game of the year in a meaningless game when your baseball career is set in front of you? I don't know that I would.
Yeah, if Notre Dame's 8-4 this year and they're playing in the Citrus Bowl or whatever, if that bowl even exists, he would be foolish to play, I think. But since
I'm talking about the Oklahoma quarterback, Kyler Murray.
Okay, sorry. Either way, I think you'd be foolish. But if you're in the playoff, then
you're going to want to play.
Then you're going to want to play. I know a few Big Ten guys have announced that they're not playing. Some seniors and some juniors are not playing in their, you know, meaningless Holiday Bowl or Alamo Bowl or whatever.
So you can't even, you read the list, you can't even tell where the hell the damn thing is now with all the sponsors. I mean, where's Michigan going?
Rose Bowl.
Rose Bowl, aren't they?
No, that's Ohio State. Sorry.
Oh, that's Ohio State.
That is right. Ohio State. I'll look it up.
They're playing Auburn, I think. Somewhere.
Yeah, outside of the playoff, I couldn't care less about any bowl game.
Rose Bowl's fun because of the parade.
I couldn't care less about the Rose Bowl parade either.
Okay, well,
I've been to the Rose Bowl, the game itself, and it's fantastic. It's awesome. But if it has no meaning behind it, then I don't watch it anymore.
I would like to get up
New Year's Day used to be a football fest, and now it's I will put on football, I will do a whole bunch of other things, including probably take a couple of naps.
Why do you need two naps? One should work, you think?
No, I think, you know, it's New Year's Day. It's a holiday. You got to get in a second one.
Well, what is the financing for? I'm going to say that, you know, like the Sun Bowl or, you know, so or the Motor City Bowl. They send the TV comes up with money, right?
Yep.
The upper deck's probably closed. You try and sell tickets in Detroit. Good luck with that. There's some sponsors.
By the way, Michigan plays Florida in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Saturday, December 29th. Yeah,
that's in more Jacksonville, Peach Bowl, somewhere Atlanta. Say Northern Florida?
No, Atlanta.
No, it's in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. What am I talking about? I was talking about the Gator Bowls in Jacksonville, right, or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, so then each school gets 5,000-6,000 tickets that if they don't sell, they got to eat, right?
Could be anymore. There's some bulls that'll tell you 10.
Really? And they're full price?
Yep.
All right. So
they get them, and they have to turn around and sell them to their friends and alumni, and if they can't sell them all, they have to eat them.
All right. Now, for the other ones, the playoff games, obviously those things are going to go for more, maybe.
Those are already sold.
Okay. Did you get a chance? You guys got tickets, right? Or did Bob's widow get a chance to buy those?
I don't think they renewed the season tickets anymore.
Okay.
So it would have to be as a former faculty. I don't know. I didn't ask Virginia if she decided to buy bowl tickets and take a road trip. My guess is no.
Yeah, and she's not going to scalp them, so I wonder if they're scalpable.
Yeah, sure they are, at least for now. You know, you may get down to game time, and you better have them sold by then. Although, you know, Notre Dame's game is in Dallas, they're Dallas and Miami, so, you know, that at least gives you a crowd that will show up on game day looking for tickets, so there will be a market on game day. One of the problems that you get, and this is a big deal at Notre Dame now, is there is no game day market. If you want to get in the game, go down there on game day. You'll be paying half price, and it really doesn't much matter which game you're talking about, because people don't. It's so expensive to be in South Bend for a game, and because they're playing at inconvenient times so often, nights and evening, nights and late afternoons, that if you don't have a hotel room, you're probably not going to go. And as a result, if you don't, and hotel rooms cost an arm and a leg, so nobody wants to make the trip without tickets in hand, because everything else is, relative to everything else, they're a small price tag. So, everybody who's on campus pretty much has tickets, and in fact, there's people trying to get rid of the ones that they didn't wind up using.
Yeah, it's you can get it pretty easy. I went my first big road trip, Kevin, was to the 71 Cotton Bowl game, where Joe Theismann beat Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Irish lost they lost to Southern Cal in the rain out there, of all places, in rain in L.A.
I remember that game.
Didn't Theismann throw for 500 and some yards, but there were a couple of fumbles and they lost?
Yeah, in a downpour. And it was literally waterfalls coming down the steps in the stadium.
Man, it never rained so damn hard in L.A. as it did that night. It was absolutely incredible.
That sucks, because when you go to L.A., you're expecting a certain experience. You're not expecting torrential downpour.
And but Joe was special, but he dropped the ball a couple times, too. So, maybe if they weren't passing so much. But they beat Texas pretty handily. It was, I remember they had, it was a difference in those days of size. The Big Ten teams and the Northern teams were much bigger than the Southern teams. I remember Jim Finks went down there, and they had this, Dallas had this defensive tackle that was All-American, and he was, I'm going to say, 230, 235. And so Jim Finks toured the Texas camp. He was there, he couldn't have been there an hour. And he saw the Notre Dame guys, and the Notre Dame had this big redheaded kid playing a guard that was like 270. And he was going to be a number one draft pick, and Fink said, "I've seen enough." And he left. He goes, "These guys don't have a chance." And but they were tough. They played real hard. They had that wishbone. They had the full bone. When was the last time you saw that?
It was Darrell Royal.
Darrell.
When he switched to the wishbone.
Now you got to say it like a Texan, Darrell.
Darrell.
Yeah. There's no syllables anywhere near Darrell.
Yeah, but also in those days, 250 was a big lineman. You got to remember, it wasn't that long ago. It was early 80s when William Perry was a freak because he was 300 pounds.
Well, they made people run. And
these guys run better now than those guys did. They make these guys run, trust me.
I'm just going to say, there's been a big change in professional football in the last few years.
Every NFL offensive lineman can dunk a basketball. These guys are all fast. They're just huge.
What I'm saying is, you don't see the huge fatsos as you did a few years ago on a lot of teams.
Well, they weigh as much.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. But I'm saying that...
Right, not as much gut.
Yeah, not as much gut. I mean, the original 300-pound lines that I saw, like Minnesota had the first line, Dr. J takes me in his game, because these are the first guys that are over 300 pounds. They average. I saw them. My first nasty comment to John, is this a football game or a pie eating contest? Look at these guys. They're all big fatsoes. You don't see that now. The guys are big. I mean, it's, but you still had your, what I'm saying, Matty, is you don't, I mean, Dan Dierdorf under Bo Schembechler probably had to run, you know, 15 wind sprints a night. You're not seeing defensive linemen that are 325 pounds running wind sprints in the NFL anymore. I mean, they all can move in space, but they're not, you know what I'm saying? It's just different.
I don't know. I think you're wrong.
I don't know that I agree with that. I think you're wrong. I think they are. They're probably doing a whole lot of short bursts. They're probably not doing as much, you know, sprints of even 40 yards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'll bet you that they're shuttling a lot of 20s.
Okay. I'm just saying that the style is different. Some of the guys in the middle are like sumo wrestlers. We went through a period of time where everybody had some. Who was the guy the Bears had? Washington?
Yeah, Ted Washington.
Was he like 330? What should he have been? 250?
Yes. And teams will still have a couple of big guys that they'll plug into the middle, you know, to stop the run. But the game now, you have to be athletic. You have to be able to move in space. You have to be able to drop in coverage at times, even if you're a defensive lineman. And you have to be in great shape. Even though they'll cycle guys in and out, those guys are in great shape.
Who's the guy that played next to Washington?
Washington
and
the guy who ran the interception back. It took forever down the field.
That's exactly the play I'm thinking about. I was sitting in a tavern here in South Bend watching that game, and you know all of the people in the place started cheering like crazy when he picked up the. I think what did he do? He got an interception. It kind of batted to him.
Yep.
And they're cheering like crazy, and then about halfway through the run, the cheers turned into laughter.
Well, but he was picking. You know, he had been a fullback in high school or something, so he knew how to carry the ball.
Right, but it was incredibly slow mo. You know, he spent half of the run looking for somebody to give the ball.
Keith Traylor was the other guy.
Yeah,
Keith Traylor. It was Ted Washington.
Yeah,
and Keith
that's
Traylor.
Right.
Well,
that's
the
right. It is one of the funniest things I've seen on a football field.
Well, the. Talk about back in the day when the Bears clinched the 1963 league championship, they still had to play the Giants. Larry Morris intercepted this pass. He starts racing down the field. And he was a linebacker, and he makes it to the end zone. And they said, "What'd you think about that run?" He goes, "For the first 50 yards, I was afraid they'd catch me. For the next 20, I was afraid they wouldn't, because I was totally out of gas." But you know, but the styles have changed, man. I'll bet the defensive ends now are not. I'm going to say that who's the guy in the 85 Bears?
Richard Dent, Dan Richard Hampton.
I think Richard Dent has been bigger than most of the ends in the last 5 years the Bears have had.
Bigger as in weight?
Yeah, I mean Richard,
because the guy like Leonard Floyd, for example, is probably 6'5", 285. With elite athleticism as far as quickness and vertical leap and wingspan and all of that. Khalil Mack is a big guy, not quite as tall as Floyd. I'd have to pull up Dent's, but I don't think Dent was any taller than 6'3 or 6'4.
I don't believe half of the numbers they give you, but.
Well, those are combine official numbers. They're not the team numbers. They're the official combine numbers where they actually.
Well, that was what it was years ago. That's when they were rookies.
Well, it's not like they've shrunk.
Most of them probably got bigger. I'm just saying that it's gone more specially now. A lot of your ends now are really fast. They're smaller than they were a few years ago.
A few years ago, yes. And a lot of teams have gone to the 3-4.
Yeah.
So you're essentially have four linebackers. You know, that are pass rushing specialists, but are also able to cover backs or tight ends out of the backfield.
Or five linemen if they both rush. Right? If the two outside guys are almost like ends.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're lighter and faster, and they're harder to deal with.
I don't know that they're lighter. That's what I'm saying. They're just built differently. They're not fat.
Oh no, well, they're like you, Manny.
Hey, in the end, it's a freak show, guys.
Yeah.
The NFL is a freak show. The NBA is a freak show, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just they're so off the charts different from normal human beings. It's one of the nice things that's a difference in baseball where there are normal sized people. Although, again, you know, you used to say, well, you know, you have a 185-pound shortstop hitting a lot of home runs. Well, you know, like Willie Mays was 185 pounds. So,
yeah.
So it's still different in the respect that at least a fairly normal sized person can play. And hockey's the same way. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have guys like Aaron Judge who are freaks of nature in their own right. But it is a game played by normal sized people, and that makes it a little more relatable in some ways for fans.
I would agree, and I would say baseball has changed more than any of the sports, though, because when I was growing up, and you guys can attest to this too, the baseball players were a lot of them were just like fat guys that like smoke cigarettes and drink beer. they were nothing like the machines they are now.
I gotta jump right. in,
oh,
even
no,
though it's
conditioning
not.
Conditioning is incredible now.
Yeah, I was
that Russell in the background.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta jump in because you remember Kruk.
Yep.
The pitcher.
Oh yeah.
You ever remember the story about it? Spring training, some woman goes, "Put that cigarette out. You're an athlete." And he said, "I'm not an athlete, ma'am. I'm a baseball player." Sorry. Well, I was sitting quietly, but I had to jump in on that one.
Well, I'm going to say that those guys.
Oh, you can jump in anytime,
okay.
Russell.
Those guys, in a lot of ways, are amazing freaks of nature, though, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no question about
it. When you talk about quickness and eye quickness, there's probably no other sport like that.
Hand and wrist strength, yep. Hand-eye coordination, no question about it. It's a different skill set. It's like a golfer. You can be a fat guy that smokes cigarettes like John Daly and still be an amazing golfer. I mean, it's fine. It's just different.
That is different.
But now you factor in that all those guys are machines, and they still have the hand-eye coordination and the hand strength and all that, and it's the game is interesting.
Well, I mean, all your guys that were big stars were all elite athletes. Andre Dawson, Roberto Clemente, even Babe Ruth when he was young. I mean, they were not schlumps. They're not what the old movies showed them out to be. Roberto Clemente was about as long and as limber as anybody I've ever seen. And he got an arm to this day. I don't know if anybody's had an arm better than him.
Well, yeah, he was a five-tool player.
Yeah.
I mean, Babe Ruth was not a five-tool player.
Ernie Banks,
but he could pitch, so I guess he was like a six-tool player.
But I mean, Ernie Banks was a serious man when you looked at him. He was not some little guy who had shrunk.
No question. Yeah, I mean, you're pointing out Hall of Famers. Yeah. What we're saying though is that the everyday player, the bench player now, is just in different condition.
But even in Ozzie Guillen was a terrific player too. But you look at him at age, I saw him when he was managing. He was age 45. You picked him out of a crowd. He didn't look just like a regular guy. I mean,
he's a pro athlete.
Well, okay, but I'm saying he was muscle on top of muscle, and you could just tell the guy was fast. I mean, just by looking at him. Well, anyway, Kevin,
yeah,
thank
all
you very
I'm
much.
Saying is you don't have to be, you know, 280 plus pounds to play the sport. You don't have to be 6'5" to play the sport, or in basketball, you know, 6'8". You know, that's what I mean by a freak show is that people who are not normal-sized human beings. Now, yeah, if you condition yourself to be a professional athlete, of course you're going to look different than, no different than me, frankly, but different than you, Tom.
Yes. Well, the weird part, Kevin, is I think the freak show really are the normal-sized people that play basketball that are so much better, so much more gifted reflex-wise and otherwise than other people that size.
Yeah, I agree. Whether it's a Steph Curry, although what is he, 6'3" or something like that?
Or Allen Iverson. I mean, guys like that.
Yeah.
And an Allen Iverson. Even if you go back to someone like Spud Webb.
Yeah.
You know, how good do you have to be at that size? How gifted do you have to be athletically to actually have a career in the NBA?
Well, if, like Sammy Puckett, if you're 5'11" and you could jump and stuff two balls at one time, we don't know anybody like that. I can't even imagine anybody like that. And yet, those guys could do that. But the guy from Indiana, who's been a general manager all the teams, tells them, went to, he was from Chicago.
Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah. I mean he's not that big.
No, Isaiah Thomas is not that big at all.
Yeah, was he 6'2"? I mean, the skill set there is dramatic. How many 6'2" people play in the NBA? You know, a few.
Yeah, there's,
but not everyone.
It's a low percentage. Yeah.
Kevin, thank you very much, buddy. SB Viewer
right,
down
you guys
13.
Have a good weekend.
Come back. We have a double treat. We got Russell and we got Wayne Manson. This should be interesting. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm with Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Russell Rhodes in studio. We have Mr. Wayne Manson, not in studio, but he threatened to be here all year. And the whole year you haven't made it yet, Wayne. What's going on?
I'm going to get up there. I keep talking to my friend Andrew Craig. We have to get back to Chicago. But, you know, I think he looks at the weather report, too. So, but we'll get up there. Maybe springtime.
Yeah, I'd wait till April if I was you.
Well, you know, the weather's been so bad. Idea. I got an email the other day that our Sunday morning softball last year, we played on a very nice day, December 1st. This year, I don't think we've played in 10 weeks. That's how bad it's been.
Certainly before Halloween was the last time that Sunday softball was played.
Well, then we got rained out 3 weeks. It was warm, but we got rained out, but... Wayne, I was wondering if you could walk us through, because I know you know this stuff better than moi for sure. This guy Flynn, what is the life and times of Flynn? He's been what an incredible career. What happened to that guy that he went to?
Flynn's an interesting character. His last job on active duty was as director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. The DIA. Now, that's one of the three-letter agencies that does not get a lot of the attention, certainly not as much as the CIA and the National Security Agency, the NSA. But the DIA, basically they collect intelligence from all U.S. defense attachés who are posted at U.S. embassies and missions around the world. They also have counterintelligence people active in various countries. They have agents assigned to various military commands and operational forces from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe. They claim he was fired by President Obama. Yeah, that's true. I don't think Flynn was what you would call a team player. And after his retirement, we saw that he gravitated to some of the more, I guess you would say, alt-right type lines of thinking. So if anything was going to get you canned by the Obama administration, it would be even the whiff that you had some interests or sympathies toward the alt-right community. And he joined the Trump campaign as national security advisor, not official, but as the national security consultant, more or less, on the campaign. He's featured at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. He was leading the crowd and locked her up. He also did that at a couple of Trump rallies. It looks like he won't get locked up. I think he realized early on that I need to cooperate with Special Prosecutor Mueller. And he's given Mueller basically a Christmas basket full of goodies, because if you looked at that filing, that was the sentencing filing that Mueller submitted to the court. It recommended no jail time and said, and then there was some redactions, and the redactions were on two cases not even affiliated with what Mueller's looking into, where Flynn has been very helpful. So the big guessing game in Washington right now is, what are those other two cases? These aren't being handled by Mueller. Obviously, it's got Trump all concerned, because he went on a Twitter storm this morning once again, going after Mueller and the news media and anyone else he could think of. I guess after Bush's burial, he thought, well, now I got to get the attention back on me, where he believes it belongs. So it's anyone's guess. Now, there is word that the other two investigations may involve other countries other than Russia, Turkey and Saudi Arabia, and Flynn's involvement, and ultimately Trump's involvement with them could be at issue. But also there's a rumor floating around that Flynn may have been wearing a wire when he spoke to Vice President Mike Pence, and Pence may be in jeopardy now. And if Pence is in jeopardy, and Kelly, it may be resigning today or over the weekend, John Kelly, that's the chief of staff, we could be seeing a situation unlike Watergate. We didn't have the situation where Agnew was in trouble for something else, for taking bribes when he was governor of Maryland and then vice president. It had nothing to do with Nixon. It was his own thing on the side. But if we get into a deal where Pence could flip on Trump, we're in totally uncharted territory. God. Constitutionally. We could ultimately see President Pelosi
Oh, God. Well, then, what's his name? He's mad. He quit Walker or Ryan. Of course, he wouldn't be this been the spot, but hey,
can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just if if the scenario plays out, do you think that changes anybody's mind on Pelosi being speaker?
Oh,
see where I'm going with that?
I just were leading the revolt against Nancy Pelosi. If she were in line, if Trump and Pence go down and she becomes, according to line of succession, the president, I could see all of them saying, Madam Speaker, we really didn't mean any of that. forget we said that. We you know, we didn't mean you any disrespect. And she would have probably say to them, now tell me, do you think you would have been ready to become president if you took my job as speaker? And some of the junior ones, I'm sure, would say,
well,
no,
waiting for
not.
Us, for us homeboys in the Midwest, you mentioned the agencies, the CIA, the NSA, and these other guys. How do they share people? Do they share knowledge? Or do you, when you apply, do you have to apply for one or the other?
That's a good question, because, you know, one of the complaints about the intelligence community, especially after 9/11, was how come they didn't know? Well, some of them knew some things, but they call this stovepiping, where these agencies stovepipe it up to the president, but they don't coordinate it. Now, that's what they came up with, this super agency, the Department of, or the Director of National Intelligence, I should say, to sort of combine all the intelligence together before it gets to the White House. From what I understand, it's still the rice bowl issue with these agencies. They don't like to share things between them. And now when we got the situation with the FBI under fire, and Mueller under fire, I would think that the situation is probably a lot worse, because you know, the CIA, Gina Haspel, who's Trump's pick there, probably is keeping a lot of her intelligence to herself. It just happens that way because the administration is so iffy right now. It's so wobbly. These agencies have a tendency to pull the wagons closer in.
But if you wanted a job, would you apply to just a general? Is there a general place that somebody picks you, or do you go to the NSA and say, I want a job here?
Oh, if you want a job with one of them? Well, actually, the CIA and NSA, they're at job fairs. They're looking for basically graduates with hard science, math, especially NSA with all the cryptography they do. CIA's looking for just about everything from economics to hard science to political science. But yeah, they all have recruiting offices, and they used to advertise in the newspapers. But now they show up at ad fairs, and you can go to their website, like CIA.gov or NSA.gov, and you can submit your application online.
Actually, you know, a guy here in Chicago, well, he's actually from Serbia, but his son, real bright, he's one of these real accelerated things at, I won't say the name of the school, even though I mentioned it, one of these high schools, Russell, and I think he speaks six languages. Let's just say the CIA already knows about him. They're actively recruiting him because of the languages and stuff.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, Russell, one of you guys, Wayne, walk us through this, the pinch of the lady in Canada, and how Bolton says the president didn't know about it. He knew about it. Do you have any idea what the chain of how that all went down?
Yeah, apparently, well, you know, there was this issue with this Chinese communications company. I may be mispronouncing it. It's Huawei. They market a lot, you know, cell phones and whatnot around the world. Well, apparently they've been selling some of their products to Iran in violation of these increased sanctions, which, by the way, the rest of the world isn't respecting, because Trump pulled out of the joint agreement, a nuclear agreement with Iran. So other countries are still selling their products and selling services to Iran. But this Chinese woman executive with this company, Huawei, was in Canada. She was arrested, extradited to the United States. That just smacks of extra territorial application of U.S. law. Other than the fact that the U.S. has increased sanctions, that's increasing our sanctions on Iran. We can't speak for Canada, although they may be sympathetic to us, but officially they're still supporting the JCPOA, the nuclear agreement with Iran. She's a Chinese citizen. She was in Canada. I don't think that, you know, Trump says, she and I got along so well, and we hammered out a trade deal in Buenos Aires. This is not going to do anything to help that cause. You know, Trump, whatever comes out of Trump's mouth is not really equal to what actually is happening, either on the trade front or just U.S.-Chinese relations.
Well, Wayne,
in general,
Kevin,
it's pretty bad.
If you don't know if you're listening earlier, but Kevin was mentioning, and Russell, even probably know about this, is he says somewhat about 9/11 time afterwards, or Homeland Security, or whatever. Even if you're a private company, say if you buy a high-end server from Dell, like his Better World Bucks might do, he says in the contract is that you can't resell list, and there'll be a list of 10 companies, countries. It is part of your purchase agreement, and evidently, he says it's a criminal offense if you do. It's part of, so he's thinking that's what these guys are doing, is buying stuff here and reselling it, or at least that's the accusation. Reselling it either.
Well, they're going to have to prove that in court, of course. But Huawei, of course, is a large manufacturing operation with a lot of joint operations in other countries other than the United States. Now, there was this intelligence report that came out last year that said, oh, beware of these products because they all have some sort of Chinese intelligence chips or Trojan horses. I think that's obviously, you could look at that and say, well, they don't like the competition and they want to, send people towards Motorola, but none of these companies are, they say Motorola, but they some of their content comes out of where? China, the same place Huawei, the semiconductors and everything else. I think this is chest feeding. Bolton, John Bolton he couldn't even be confirmed as a U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. He only got that job because George W. Bush gave him a recess appointment. The guy's a warmonger. I think that's why he likes Trump. Although his first candidate was Ted Cruz, and before Ted Cruz, he wanted Ben Carson. So that tells you something about the mindset of Mr. Bolton, that he the only reason he wanted Ben Carson as president potentially was that he would wind up, he thought, as, national security advisor. Well, he got that anyway.
Yeah.
With Trump. I not only question the policies of people like Bolton, I actually have to question are they mentally well? Because Bolton was terrible at the United Nations. He once threatened we should blow up the top 10 floors of the UN Secretariat building, and the world would be a better place. So he advocates terrorism as well.
What? Feel free to pile in here, Russell. But my question is, we're doing a lot of stuff, and I actually believe some of the things that Trump is calling people out on. I think people need to be called out once in a while. But I question is there an end game? If the Chinese said, okay, we'll give you what you want, do we really have a intellectual property? Do we really think that they can buy a company over here and we're going to let them buy the place and we're not going to let them? You're not going to let them take the intellectual property? I mean, they just bought it. And what are we actually looking to have happen?
Is that for me?
I'm just saying, what is the end game?
I think that you've got to look at the Trump's overall policy. He's got this guy Peter Navarro. Now, he's got this guy Lighthizer as his U.S. trade representative, but he's also got this Peter Navarro as his trade advisor. Peter Navarro is a trade, I guess you call him a nationalist. He wants to go back to the 1950s and restore America's factory potential. Now, the only, maybe he should getting one of Matt Whitaker, the acting AG's, time machines. You know, Whitaker was involved with a company that was wanted to take Bitcoin investment to come up with a time machine. I could think of several people in this administration who should welcome that initiative and get in their time machine and go back to the 1950s, 1940s, when America did have this manufacturing potential. They'd also be able to, you know, see a country where they had water fountains in the South that said whites and coloreds. You know, I mean, that seems to be the America they want to go, they want to return to. They should go see Matt Whitaker and try to get in one of his time machines and go back to the 1940s.
Well, I'm not in that camp, and Russell here is a professor of economics.
Finance,
economics. Yeah. What's the difference?
I'm a little bit more in reality.
Where I'm going with this, though, is I think you could look at the free trade idea, and I'm sort of, and Russell and I have talked extensively. I'm kind of in the questioning middle on this. I don't understand why the wages in Mexico haven't gone up. I think some of the gangs and the politicians have taken all the money. I think in China, clearly, the ruling class got the money meant for. The idea was they'd make less over there for a while, they'd start to get raises over there, and they'd become customers for over here, and we'd make more money than we ever dreamed we could make. And yet, that didn't happen. So I'm a little concerned about the status quo. I would go about it maybe differently than Trump is, because my goals would be slightly different, but I'm curious as to who's stealing the money that should be going to the hands. It's not that the General Motors plant, as Carl's said to us, was making $3 an hour 20 years ago. They should be making 10 now, and they're not. No, I want to know why. I mean,
well, you know, one of the reasons GM shut those plants down, they were operating at some of them at 30% capacity, and that's because of the tariffs he imposed on imported steel and aluminum. Some of his policies are directly responsible for this manufacturing slowdown. But I agree with you. I don't like this free trade. I think there should be fair trade. And I do believe that Obama and W. Bush and Clinton, and probably going back to H.W. Bush and Reagan, they allowed too many companies to get away with too much. And our trade representatives were not looking out for the American for American labor. They were frittering away in these negotiations all these issues that should have been not issues but demands made on other countries, including Mexico and China and others. And they just it was this laissez-faire attitude. Let's just let the market take care of it. Well, the market took care of it. It took care of a lot of American jobs. And, of course, you saw no increase in wages or benefits in places like Mexico and in China and Thailand and other countries.
Well, I don't want to... Somebody asked me years ago, Russell, you'll love this, how do I decide whether I want to put a plant in China? So I actually was a member of the Economic Club at the time. And I, the person there was one of the people was from the Chinese embassy. And I said, okay, how do I do this? We had a long conversation, and will you come over? And we'll there's two or three provinces that probably want you, and you'll get a guy from each place that'll take care of you, and they'll find a spot, and they'll make sure the labor behaves basically. And I'm going, whoa! So you get a handler, for lack of a better term, and I think a lot of people over there are making a lot of money. It's just not the workers. I think.
I don't think it's trickling down?
Well, the Chinese have their method, and now we know with the negotiations with Amazon for those two headquarters, local governments and chambers of commerce are willing to give them. So I guess it's really style more than the fact that, they do it and we don't. I think we do it, too. I mean, the tax money that was going to be frittered away, and which was frittered away by Northern Virginia, well, state of Virginia, and Arlington County, and the borough of Queens, and New York City, and the state of New York, to Amazon, it's amazing what was put on the table for Amazon, but every other prospective location was given the same thing. I mean, you talk about the money, taxpayer money, that's used to build these sports stadiums for these billionaire team owners. Well, we saw the same thing play out there. Now let's see if they actually come up with these jobs they promised. I'll wait.
Better if I buy that. Wayne, thank you very much, buddy.
You bet.
Get your butt out here, will you?
Okay. Well. Maybe we'll try to get up there.
6 months from now,
we do have heating in the building there, right?
So well, the Bears will be in the playoffs. The Bears will be in the playoffs. You got a playoff game.
Now you're talking.
Wow.
Hawks and Bulls, not so much. You know.
I only get coffee.
Yes. All right, bud. Take care of yourself.
You do.
I mean, Wayne can get us all in a skybox.
Oh.
You should get us in a skybox.
Who, me?
You're a big shot. You're a professor. You travel around the world. Got to be somebody you can weasel in with.
I'll see what I can do.
What do you make of what Wayne was saying?
What, as far as
in terms of
which part? No, because there was a lot.
The overseas stuff. I mean, why isn't this working?
Why
the way we thought it was going to work?
I think that I equate it to there's always loopholes and things that you don't foresee when you try to impose things like that, and you just see the next workaround. You know, if the money was not getting to the people the way that you wanted it to 6 months ago, so you try to change a rule. Well, the people that were making sure that didn't happen 6 months ago take a look at the new rule and they figure out a way around it.
Well, I mean,
yeah, I think that's unfortunately the way that it works in a lot of situations like that.
Well, Carl thinks that the tariff should be used to even up wages and pollution in some way if you can. Now, who the hell would you trust to run that department? I don't know. It'd have to be Solomon, but
yeah. I mean, the pollution part, I think, it would be more difficult to implement than the even wages. But when you try to look at apples to apples, wage comparison, how much does it cost to live in one place versus another? You know,
well, that's true.
And we just did currency last night in the class that I teach. And and this is a terrible example when you're talking about factory workers, but it's what we were working with. Basically, a cup of Starbucks over in India costs about a third of what it costs in the U.S. right now. So, what if that's true across the board? You know, and the average wage in the U.S. is $9, and the average wage over there is $3 an hour. Well, you're kind of getting just about the same thing for that $3 that it cost you $9 here. Or even different parts of the U.S., you can see those differences as well. So when you hear the absolute dollar amounts, I start to think that's not taking all the moving pieces into account as well.
I used to
wait tables over at the Burnham Park Yacht Club, and there was a guy that came up from Mexico every year. He showed up on Memorial Day and he disappeared on Labor Day. And they said he lived like a freaking king down in Mexico off of what he made just working that part of the year in the U.S.
I don't disagree with that. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with the traffic and so forth. SP Futures still down 875. Come back some. Down on 83. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed.
PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Howell. He'll be John Neal in a second.
Your voice hasn't gotten much better, to
be
honest.
No, I'm going to let these other guys talk more here, but I'm doing the whatever.
It's worse than yesterday.
I know, I feel better, but the voice is worse. It's weird. S&P futures down 3.5. Numbers came out. Were they 155? Is the number?
Yep, and the October number was revised down slightly to 237 from up 250. The stock market rallied from pretty low levels to almost unchanged at this point, looking at the futures. I think it's because all the numbers look like they were slightly light, which means there's no inflation concerns, and maybe this next rate hike is going to be the last rate hike.
Well, I have some numbers for you and Jan, and I'll blob them out, then you guys talk. Let me do the traffic weather report.
Sure, I was trying to help you with that.
Well, DAX up 38.3%, FTSE up 81.2%, CAC around up 57.1.2%. Asia, it's kind of a mixed bag. Nikkei up 177, that's 0.8. Shanghai flat, Hang Seng down 92. We've got gold now is now up 240, and we've got oil is up some as well. It's up 87 cents now. So, Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. As predicted, we were off to too good of a start earlier, so I knew it would pick up, and it has. We have a couple of accidents to report now. On the Edens inbound just before Wilson Avenue, there's a crash that's causing all kinds of issues coming in on I-94, so keep that in mind.
a little bit farther west on the Jane Addams Tollway, which is I-90 on the inbound side, just before Des Plaines Oasis, we have a crash as well that's been moved to the left shoulder. This one was involving four vehicles and has I-90 backed up considerably out in the northwestern suburbs. And then just west of there, Route 53, southbound before Woodfield Road, there's an accident too. So all kinds of issues in the northwestern suburbs specifically affecting I-90 and I-94 and Route 53, so keep that in mind. To the south, Route 83 at 31st Street, there is an accident. And then in the southwestern burbs, Woodward Avenue at Boughton Road, which is 87th Street, there is a crash as well. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine today and into the weekend, so that'll be nice. But stay indoors. Just enjoy it from the window because it's going to be cold. Today, partly cloudy skies with a high of 28, wind chills in the teens. Right now, it's crystal clear and 20 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, more rain in the forecast today. Rainy with a high of 65. Right now, it's overcast and 57. In sports, Blackhawks fell behind 2-0, rallied back to take a 3-2 lead, only to give it right back, and they lost to Vegas 4-3 last night. That's their sixth straight loss. Coyotes were doubled up by the Capitals 4-2. NBA hoops, Bulls were off. Suns were blown out by the Blazers 108-86. College hoops, Arizona blew out Utah Valley 80-69. Thursday night football, it was Tennessee all over Jacksonville 30-9.
But Jacksonville looked terrible.
They're bad. And they're 4-9 after they were in the AFC Championship game last year and really outplayed New England for about 2.5 or 3 quarters. They were close to going to the Super Bowl last year, and now they can't do anything.
Not a bit. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, Tom?
Well, I'm hacking away, but other than that, I'm upright and taking nourishment. So,
hey, I have a blue stuff this year.
We have all of a sudden got colds all over downtown Chicago. We're not sure why, but
I think it's you spreading them around because no one else I know has one.
You know what? I think it came from my nephew who got it from his daughter.
I was going to say Rugrats.
Yeah, yes.
One of the Rugrats in my house. I hope they're not listening when I said that. Has brought something home from school as well,
and it flies around anyway.
Yeah.
Our buddy, we've been talking about some economic stuff here today, Jack, because we think it's it's influencing the market a little bit. Obviously, this trade war is and why it hasn't worked out the way people thought. And one of all our contributors are good, but Carl is kind of unique in that he comes from a different. He has a command of some of these numbers. Would you say, Russell? Very few people have.
Yeah,
and he's absolutely convinced that the big elephant in the room, with everything we do here, is the one we deny. When people talk about inflation, they talk about everything, is this health care. And he claims it's not so much if you look at the 30 hours it makes for a car, you would never move. If you're paying somebody in Mexico even, say, $4 an hour and paying somebody here 25, it's $750. You can eat that up in the transports getting across the border in every single car. You're not even close, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Carl's point is all the stuff around it. The medical is such a huge deal that we keep ignoring it. And you get the buffoons, essentially, collectively, and CNBC talk about inflation. The fact is, your health care is up, 1,000 to 2,000% in the last 15 years. It's been 5% of the CPI, so it's never been counted, and it never will be counted, yet it's there. And we just keep ignoring it. And I dug up this table that you will love. It's actually University of Missouri has an amazing amount of stats. Why is that, Russell? This is what they zeroed in on, and labor stats are big at it.
I never heard that they've been known for that, but I assume somebody there has been putting their graduate students to work.
Because they have a union wages and hours. It's from 1976 and 77. Mm-hmm. John, pick a task, a union task here, and I'll tell you what they made. We'll start.
Porter.
A what?
A porter.
Porter. On the train?
Okay, I'm talking like a plumber.
Okay. Well, then tell him, just say plumber.
All right. Your electrician.
All right, electrician. a porter. I thought he was going to say, anyway. They made $10.77 an hour in 1977.
Wow.
Okay. Guess what the insurance cost per hour was?
34 cents.
Yeah, not so far off. 66.
Okay.
Pension, 65.
vacation is like 40 cents. So almost as much for the vacation as it was. But I got to believe that the insurance now is, it's got to be several dollars.
Oh, yeah. It's easily, if it were still at 10 bucks, I would say it's probably two or three.
It's got to be.
Easily.
It's got to be $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
How many hours do you have? 160. So what is it per hour? It's got to be, $6 an hour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, is a lot of what we're talking about, what Carl's talking about, that we're not taking into account this other stuff, the regulation and the medication, and medicine?
You mean with respect
to... Why you want to bring this plant down to Mexico? I'm looking at the labor numbers, and it doesn't make sense to me. And he's saying it's all the other stuff that goes with it.
Oh, it is a lot of the stuff that goes with it. It's got to be. You've got basically cost per employee that are, mandated by government. You know, you've got to offer. I'm going to get yelled at for this, but you got to give maternity leave. You know, which suddenly means you're paying somebody to not be at work for 6 weeks to 3 months. I'm not really sure. A month and a half to 3 months. But
is that paid?
Yes. Yeah.
So at most companies,
yes,
it's paid at your current wage for up to either, like Russell said, either 6 weeks or 3 months, and then most other companies will offer an additional 3 months at like partial pay,
but full insurance all the way.
Yes,
or you can take a certain amount of time off. You get paid for some, you don't get paid for part, but yeah. I hate that I use that example because I think it's a nice thing. I think it's a great thing that people are able to do that. But, I mean, that's something the companies don't have a choice. You know, they've been told they have to allow that. And,
well, women, women.
And it's not so much, and again, I think it's cool that you can have a child, go through the process of, bringing them along for the first few weeks and then go back to work and your job is guaranteed but the fact that the government says you have to do that, that's just an extra expense on the companies that are trying to compete with the 150 countries that don't implement those.
But most countries, like in Europe,
Europe does. I'm thinking about Mexico and China. And those types
really,
of places.
In Europe, they don't compete. Canada, they get longer. Europe, they get longer.
I know there are countries that we're kind of modeling after, or we've been lagging with respect to along those lines. But when you're talking, because we're talking about putting a plant in Mexico versus putting a plant in the U.S. There are lower costs, across the board, and I think a lot of those lower costs are the benefits. And then if you talk about a country where government spends a lot more time taking care of the health care, that's not an expense that the companies have to take on.
With Russell and Jan, Jan's not that conservative. Russell is. I can't believe I'm on the other side of this argument.
I don't think Russell's that conservative either. He's very moderate.
You know what?
You're very moderate.
It's not that I'm that conservative or moderate. It's that I try not to be blinded by my, by my preconceptions of anybody.
That's called being intelligent.
When I hear, when I see, the expression on somebody's face when you start a sentence with "Trump says," and you can tell automatically they're either really upset that you just said the word Trump, or that you that they're not going to listen to anything else that comes out. I almost don't want to have those conversations sometimes, but I try to.
Right.
I try to be as open minded as I can. And on the other side of that is it's hurt me sometimes because I'm like the dog that keeps coming back to the master that's never nice to him. Well, maybe this time they'll be logical.
And they never are.
So, no, I try to remain open-minded with all this stuff. And I think, you know, and it's funny that I get branded a conservative on that one, just because I'm not automatically shutting down my thought process.
No, you're not a conservative on that one. You're a guy with three women listening to you from home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm escaping.
Yeah, well, but yeah, they're listening, so you got to be careful.
I'm
just saying, you know.
I choose my words carefully around them. Trust me.
I truly believe, though, that if anyone is not living the way Russell just described, then they're doing it wrong.
Well, thank you.
And
that's the nicest thing anybody said to me.
No, but I mean that sincerely.
But I try to maintain an open mind. I mean, I was not a big fan of Obama. I really was not. But I think there's some things that he did that were very good. I do not personally have a positive attitude toward Donald Trump. I used to kind of, in my youth, I used to kind of idolize him because he came across as a pretty successful guy. But
plus, he was doing Stormy Daniels.
That part I didn't think about that part. But beyond that, I remember when he threw out the first pitch at a Cubs game.
Were you there?
Oh yeah, it was like 90 degrees, and he was dressed in his full suit.
I'm going to say 95. Uh-huh. He was playing catch with Sammy Sosa, and he never even took his tie off.
Yep, and he beyond that, he was up in the skybox, and some guy said, "Buy me a beer," and Trump pointed it to a beer guy and pointed to that guy, and I guarantee you, Trump did not pay for the beer.
I guarantee he never paid for it.
Yeah,
no.
But beyond, I just, you know, I think there's some things that he's trying to do. I don't like the way he's going about trying to do them that are positive. I think calling China out on their past behaviors and trying to be a little bit more aggressive about it than people have been in the past is a decent approach. I don't know if I necessarily agree with snagging one of the leader's daughters who is high up with a company out of Canada is a great move, but we'll see how that one works out. He's taken something from their playbook, if you think about it, because they would do something like, you know, we've had executives over there that have had a difficult time getting out of the country until they make some sort of concessions. But I, you know, looping back to the way I approach all this stuff, I really just try to gauge people's intentions and, you know, and then maybe start to question the way that they're going about implementing those intentions if I agree with the intentions.
John, save me from this, because I'm going to...
Save me from this.
I'm going to walk myself off a plank here.
Okay.
The people in Washington that have never made a payroll in their friggin' life are so anxious to give people benefits that other people have to pay for, that it just boggles my mind and causes me to almost be violent. I mean, the idea, I don't have anything against motherhood. I don't have anything against
That's good, because you wouldn't be here.
No, but mothers and babies, but one of the first companies that had a generous deal like that was GATX. And my brother Dan, president of PTI Securities, used to be an auditor. He was at GATX, internal audit. He goes out and he finds a place, one of their plants, and this lady, oh, she was secretary, whatever the hell she was. She had three kids in 5 year period. And they had a generous plan, you know, you're this much off for payment. And she'd come back, take her vacation. Over a 5 year period, she was missing 2 years. How the hell do you do that as a firm? You have an employee for 5 years and they don't show up for two. We're not talking about them being sick, something they didn't decide to do. I mean, last time I checked, you know, people know how to make babies. I mean, and if she were to come in the next day and demand equal pay to somebody else who actually has been there 5 years, how the hell does that work economically? Just ask it.
Wow. I see where you're coming from with that, you know, I think, in at least in my estimation, you know, it's the right thing to do to have pretty generous, you know, programs like this. If your question is, you know, should that be mandated? You know, maybe that's another discussion. But and this, you know, definitely adds to the costs and things like that that you've been talking about all this morning.
But I think, you know, as a society, that, in, like you said, my humble opinion, I think it's the right way to go.
And Chief always picks out extreme examples. That's not the normal case. Typically,
right.
You know, you're going to get 6 weeks off. You might get 3 months off. And then you're back to work. So then you're talking about, you know, maybe 3 months out of 5 years, which is not that big of a deal.
Let me put it this way. You work for a big firm. And you guys,
it's not that big.
Right. Let's say you were Commonwealth Edison, and you got 100 women doing this. You know, and again, I'm not against it. They can take that number down to the state and say, this plan's has cost us...
I bet they get so many write-offs for all that stuff. I bet it doesn't even move the needle.
Maybe what I'm saying is they can go to the state and say, this costs us $1 million. We need another $1 million in electrical fees, and your fee and my fee went up. They don't care. Big companies don't care. They have enough people to cover it. And most of them are somewhat a monopoly now or an oligopoly. Do you think Microsoft cares? No. But what if Matt Weber... there's a hot dog stand, and you hire some lady, and 2 days later she says, by the way, I'm pregnant, see you in 6 months. You're paying her and paying somebody else? I mean, at some level, it doesn't work, is what I'm saying. We're not talking about if she walked in and said, I got diagnosed with breast cancer. Of course, you can do everything you can to pay her. But this is not...
Show me where it didn't work. Where a company went out of business because they had too many pregnant ladies.
The point is...
I understand your point, but I don't think it's right.
Okay. I happen to know... My point is, who's supposed to pay for it?
As a society, we all sort of agree
to pay
for it.
Well, it's never we.
It is we. I mean...
Is Obama paying for it? No.
Chief, the maternity leave went into effect like in the 1940s.
I think the mandate went in under Clinton.
Manny, I'm all for
it's been this. Around longer than Obama,
I'm all
for sure.
For yeah. Nobody treats their employees better than I do. You know, so, and I would do that in a nanosecond. My point is, when other people start telling people how much they should pay somebody.
The minimum of 12 weeks was signed in 1993. So, yeah, that was
Clinton,
during Clinton.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't disagree with that one.
But
I'm not a Democrat.
I think maternity leave began way before 1993.
What I'm saying is the people making these kinds of laws. They could say for the government.
Somehow it was Obama, according to you, but
whatever.
I think it went into effect before he was born.
All right. So 93 would have been Clinton, right?
Yes, but the minimum 12 weeks was 93.
My point is.
Actually, I think being paid was part of the 12 weeks as well. I don't think the paid part. I think you used to be able to go and come back, but you didn't get paid
before 1993, maternity leave coverage was governed by state law.
Right.
Okay.
This was the first time it was federally.
Manny, I'm all for it. I'm just not for people that never have had a job like that in government telling you how much you should pay somebody else. If there's a limit to that, I'll take. That's all I'm saying.
So I agree with you, but I do think that we need basic rights. I think that the 40-hour week is a good thing. I think weekends
sure.
off
right.
is a good thing.
Sure.
I think minimum wage is a good thing. And I think maternity leave is a good thing.
I do, too.
And I think a lot of people fought for those rights, and we take them for granted now. But if no one would have fought for them, we probably never would have had them, because if you leave it up to the business owners, they're going to screw everybody. That's my opinion.
Okay, but there's also a basic, and I can barely talk, there's also a basic thing. If you have an employee, you're paying them because you need them.
Right, and exactly. And if you're in Mexico or China, you're going to pay them 10 cents an hour.
Okay.
And here, thankfully, we fought to have certain minimums.
I'm all for it.
It doesn't sound like you are.
I'm saying there's a limit.
Well, I that's fine, but there's also some minimums, too, that I think we need.
What I'm saying is...
That's why you have that buffer of our government that's helping some of these things along the way. I mean, otherwise, if you just... I mean, I have to have that in there. I mean, it goes with that's why we have regulations on a lot of things. So there is some standard, you know, that has to be followed, both in payroll and industry and whatever.
The point I'm trying to make is people making these calls, these massive, grandiose giveaways, are not paying the freight. Is all I'm saying. There's a lady we know. I know, or somebody in my family knows, was a librarian up, say, in one of the little towns around Chicago. She'd been there forever. She's 50-some years old. She's making like 80 or 90 grand or some number.
As a librarian?
Oh, yeah, because she'd been there a while, got a degree or whatever. And
So they that say, seems a little high.
They said, well, that's what they thought. So they go, okay, we're going to kick her onto her pension. Now, the state pays the pension, not the city. All right, so her pension is 55 or 60. She retires. They hire some new young lady for less money. I'll keep this very short. Mm-hmm. She gets pregnant. And they've got a, you know, whatever, 3 month, 4 month, whatever. So she's out getting paid. Need a librarian. They hired the first one back as a consultant. There's three friggin' people getting paid for this one job. Enough. I mean, Maddie, if it's your money, you got to say, what the bleep? Now, if you're in government.
I agree with you on that. I mean, you can pull, anyone can point to extreme examples on any topic, but typically, you got to look for, you know, the wide-ranging effect, and it's a net positive.
All right, and all I'm saying is economically, if somebody's liable to be off a year out of five, you better not be paying them the same amount as somebody who's there every day.
Ooh.
Economically. Economically.
And we'll go to the weekend on that note.
SP Futures down 8. Be right back. Be back on Monday, Stocks and Jocks, with me talking better.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.